Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepard.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. How are you today? A gorgeous day. A little hint of a lowering of the humidity by my gauges.
Hint of autumn.
A hint of autumn. I am Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. This is the Sheeman and Shepard Show. Chris on the other side of the glass, and we are looking forward to another big Tuesday here for the next 4 hours, as we always do. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can also follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. Follow me at CraigESPN, and Pete Shepard is at PShep326. You know what Tuesday means. We'll get you all caught up with the headlines. Well,
NFL football.
Right. There's a new element to Tuesday. Usually it's MAC conference football on Tuesday nights. We've got NFL football tonight. Had a pretty good game last night. We'll get to all that. Pete has another college football quiz and some hot nuggets for the upcoming week. I don't like it when your nuggets make sound effect noise. I don't care for it at all, especially on a hot day. It's a red alert Tuesday where we put people, teams, and situations on blast.
It's not swamp-ass nuggets. It's just regular nuggets.
After red alert, we got another edition of Master Pete Theater. You gave me a little hint about what it is today.
There are actually superhero references in this rep.
Okay. Chris, you're of the younger, hipper generation. Yeah. Does that clue you in as to what this rap could be?
I'm younger. I'm no longer hip, guys.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember when every other rapper put a Donald Trump lyric because they loved him song. Now, superheroes, I don't know.
That was not that long ago. Okay. That was just
that was like, up to about 5 years ago?
That was like 5 years ago, yeah. Okay. Then that stopped pretty quickly.
We've got Wikipedia. Traditionally, on Tuesdays, we do Week 5 NFL trivia for Wikipedia. We're going to go ahead and do that, even though Week 5 technically is not over.
But I know. The Bills and Titans haven't played yet.
You're correct. That may be addressed in the quiz itself.
Okay.
Oh.
So we have all that going on. Lots to get to. And love you to be a part of the show. Again, at 239-337-ESPN. Shall we? Pete, how are you? Did you stay up and watch that game last night? Good game last night.
I fell asleep, but I woke up for the overtime.
Really?
Yeah, I woke up for the overtime.
It's pretty exciting how they got there.
Love when that happens.
Once again, as we said yesterday, in these type of situations, man, if you're doing shekels, you got to tease. You got to.
I didn't need it. No, I disagree, Pete. I told you to go with the over 50, it blew by that by.
I agree with that.
Miles.
I agree with that. But if you're going to take the Saints there, you got to tease it. Look, I totally agree. I love the over too.
I know we're 3 hours ahead of my hot takes at 5 o'clock. Drew Brees was the third best quarterback on that field last night.
I'm surprised he was that high.
You got Justin Herbert, looked fantastic. I'm going to go ahead and give Taysom Hill some credit, only because when the game was on the line, Sean Payton put him in and put Drew Brees on the bench, and it worked. It worked. So
yeah, well, Drew Brees had a couple of little scrambles too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know what I hate hearing right now, though? And I knew this was going to happen with her. I'm waiting for, did Miami do the right thing?
Ryan Clark.
Come on.
Ryan Clark of ESPN.
To me, it's just, I guess if you're them in the morning and you got to be that lazy, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You've never even seen the guy. So trust me, if Justin Herbert were on the Miami Dolphins right now, he'd still be on the bench.
Right.
Because Ryan Fitzpatrick has played so well. So the argument to me makes no sense. I don't even want to discuss it. And it's such laziness to me. And people bring that stuff up and they don't say, well, they forget to bring in the Fitzpatrick element to all of this. Well, he's played really, really well in five games. Yeah. So do you think Justin Herbert was in the perfect situation? Not because Tyrod Taylor got stabbed in the lung by his doctor, by accident.
I think they did it on purpose.
Punctured. Because I think he would have been there anyway. But, you know, it's just I hate that kind of speculate. You're like, did Miami take the wrong guy? No, they didn't. Has Justin Herbert surprised a lot of people overall so far? Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could start saying that about a lot of, you could put him, switch his name with a lot of, you could say that about a lot of other quarterbacks.
Yes, you can.
But just, but automatically it's just, oh, did Miami do the right thing? Oh, please.
All right, we will discuss. We'll dive deep into last night's game. We'll preview tonight's game. There's a lot to get to here. And then Pete and I, through conversation, we just stumbled onto something that we want to make you aware of, but we'll do it after the Sports Center rundown at a pithy 5 minutes past the hour. Here's Chris.
I don't know what this conversation is.
Nope.
The Florida Gators have announced 5 positive COVID tests among players. The Gators host LSU this Saturday. That game has been moved to 4 o'clock. Listen to the game right here on 99.3 ESPN. Jim Henry of the Tallahassee Democrat is reporting 90-year-old Bobby Bowden has tested negative for the coronavirus.
Yeah!
He's expected to be released from the hospital at some point tomorrow. Tonight, 99.3 ESPN, we're going to have Tuesday night football. Titans host the Bills. We start at 6:30, kickoff at 7. Watch it on CBS.
All right.
I said CBS, not VS.
Sound like the drugstore.
Yeah.
Sound like the drugstore.
CBS,
there.
The channel, not the pharmacy.
I understood the reference.
Okay. Now, Pete Shepard. We have a collision of events going on our calendar.
Worlds colliding.
Worlds are colliding in 3 weeks. You mentioned to me that Le'Veon Bell is
wants out of New York. They are actively trying to shop in. Of course, first team you hear is always, like you guys always say,
Patriots.
That, and I don't know.
They don't need any running backs, I don't think.
Well,
I think they're good.
He thinks he's going to go over there and get more carries, he's sadly mistaken.
They use
3 running backs.
I think he wants to go any place that has a chance to
win. I got
win.
It. I know Pete Shepard's angle right here.
What's that? What?
I figured it out.
What?
Wide receiver Le'Veon Bell. Much better than any wide receiver they have in New England right
yeah,
now.
He won't drop any passes.
Just move him out to the X.
Okay. That's a good thought there.
Well, he does do very well.
Now, Pete Shepard, could you please tell me what the date is of the NFL trade? Because everything's screwy this year. What's the trade deadline? What's the date?
Well, today, 3 weeks from today, is the NFL trading deadline. It just happens to coincide with...
That's November 3rd, right?
I believe so.
Is my math correct?
Oh, my goodness.
The NFL trade deadline is the same day as the election of the United States president?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Are we off by a week?
No, Adam Schefter tweeted it out 14 minutes. 3 weeks from today is a hugely significant day with potential ramifications for years to come.
Today's the
13th. The NFL trade deadline.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
How about that?
I can confirm.
So,
reported by Adam Schefter, confirmed by me.
So when Schefter, thank you for that. When Schefter does his Woj bombs that day, because that's what they are. We're also going to be competing with news about stories at the polls are closed, problems, people voting, the election come. I mean, that's a big drinking day. That's a big drinking day. You go home on Tuesday night, that's a big drinking night.
I'm going to call my shot now. Calling it.
Okay. Sticky pad?
It's the day Twitter breaks.
Yeah.
3 weeks from today, the evening Twitter breaks.
Now, let me go from utterly absurd to preposterous and throw this little nugget in.
All right.
What if something happens and there's another Titans-Bills situation on election night on Tuesday on ESPN?
It makes it better.
There's no room for that story.
It makes it better.
There's no room for that story.
It will be the highest viewed telecast of the evening.
No, it's going to be... It's going to be trade deadline on the sports networks. It's going to be the election on the news networks. If there's another COVID outbreak in the NFL, they're going to have to put that on the deuce. For more information on the latest COVID outbreak, please go to ESPN2. We don't have room for it today.
That's fine.
Well, what else is going to ESPN go? They had nothing else to show.
And Chris, I don't think the internet will break that night. It will break 2 months later.
Oh, when the
Supreme Court votes 5-4 with its newly... crown bench, and that's the day Twitter will break in this country.
It's happening soon.
By the way, that was a nonpartisan comment by myself.
No, just facts.
Just facts.
Yeah.
Just facts.
Yeah.
It's all I can find. You know, I'm glad I've got my Twitter dialed in, though, where I don't see any of that nonsense anymore. It's just sports.
You blocked? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's just...
Huh.
It's everyone.
I
don't care about what you think about that.
Right.
Oh, sorry. I thought it said November. It's my bad. I was looking. I thought I misread it. The Mountain West TV schedule just came out. I thought they scheduled a game the night of on Tuesday. They didn't.
Oh, all right.
That was a trip inside Pete Shepard's brain.
Sorry,
you heard it.
2 days
later, actually heard the
Colorado. And it makes sense. America's team is playing on the 12th.
All right. So, by the way, tonight, Bills Titans. We talked about the COVID situation. Yeah. No new tests. No new positive tests for the Titans. So they're going to go ahead and play. That's at 7 p.m. By the way, is that so Jim Nance and Tony Romo have to do an extra game? Okay, are they going to bring out the A-team for this? They were at the Cowboys game Sunday.
I don't know.
Last week when we had that extra game, I believe Nance and Romo did the Monday night game. So, yeah, I presume they have to do an extra game. Do they have a game limit under contract? Like no more than 18 regular season games or something like that? So I presume that's the case. Also, Pete, I'm sure you read this or heard this from Florio this morning. A week ago, we were sure that the hammer was going to come down on the Titans. Now it seems like the NFL is just going to take a pass. No punishment for this COVID thing.
That's not what I heard.
Okay.
I heard over the weekend that they're just still gathering more information and that they are going to come down with the hardest penalty yet. So, again, I don't know who to believe. You can't let it go. I think they're still, for whatever reason, Roger Goodell, you know the drill.
Yeah.
Finger. Index finger, mouth, swirl, step outside on 345 Park Avenue, lift finger straight up in the air, see which way the wind is blowing, and then I'll make a decision. Does it every time.
Okay.
Right index
finger. Tom McCarthy will be the play-by-play tonight. Jay Feely will be your analyst. Get a kicker in there because kickers matter too.
Do I know who Tom McCarthy is?
A.J. Ross is your sideline reporter.
Who's Tom McCarthy? I mean, I know all these guys. I don't know who Tom McCarthy is.
Yes, you do.
Do I?
I don't know.
Got to Google him and look him
up.
He's
right here.
You got a picture?
Yep.
Hold on. Bear with me.
Oh, yeah. I know that guy. Yeah. I know that guy.
He's a Phillies broadcaster, CBS Sports, NFL, College Hoops, Westwood One.
Well, this is his Super Bowl tonight, man. National TV audience.
I hear him more on the radio than before.
Big moment.
He's done it before.
Never heard of him.
Not in a national game.
Yeah.
Right? No,
well, he's done CBS Sports and NFL, so he's probably...
I've heard Jay Feely do games.
Yeah.
But what kind of analysis is a kicker going to get me? Put it between the uprights.
What is that? Well...
Which, by the way, the Chargers did not do last night. So, Pete, I don't know if you were asleep on the couch at this point.
They
kicked what would have been a game-winning field goal.
Yep.
And it barely grazed the upright and doinked out.
Well, it hit the upright square and didn't go through. A lot of times it didn't do anything. It went straight down, odd that it happened that way badly again. And, again, real quick about the Chargers. This is an unbelievable stat. So, the Seahawks are 14-2 in one-score games. The Chargers are 3-13 in one score game since the start of the 2019
season. That's how I recall the Chargers. A lot of missed kicks, Phillip Rivers in games that are going down the wire. That's what I remember.
You flip that around, they might be in the Super Bowl. Yeah, they're 3-13, and this is since 2019.
You flip that around, Phillip Rivers is still on the team.
Those stats check out.
Yeah.
Just that's a feeling that I have.
That's
those
just
stats.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Even if they won half of those games, they might have been a playoff team.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Because I think they just missed two seasons ago, was it?
Yeah. That's amazing. That's just
amazing.
By
the way, the Saints were down 20-3 at one point last night.
Saints were down. Yeah, in the second quarter.
Yeah. So they had
I still thought they were going to make a comeback.
I thought the Chargers looked good all night, to be honest with you. You know who I like? A lot of your attention goes to the fact that they took their sixth pick of the first round and they drafted Justin Herbert. And they had a second pick in the first round. That Murray linebacker out of Oklahoma, I think.
OU, yeah, Kenneth Murray.
Oh, I like him.
He had a good game.
Did you see him slam down that receiver in the fourth quarter? I mean, I like him very much. So they had a really good draft. And by the way, they traded up to that 23rd pick with your Patriots, gave you a second and a third for it to take it. So very good first round for the Chargers.
He had a couple pass rushing scenarios last night against Armstead, the left tackle for the Saints.
Yeah.
And
just,
I can't use it on air, but he punked him up.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. He's impressive. And he's huge. He's thick.
And plus.
And fast.
And you think about the
great
injuries.
Uniforms.
The Chargers?
Don't forget about that. Great uniforms.
I don't like the Chargers
Big
uniforms.
Fan of the number on the helmet.
The number's
I like
okay.
that.
But that's because Alabama's been doing it for years.
Forever. But that's not the point of this, Craig. The point is it's a good look.
It looks like a UCLA uniform. I don't care for it.
I like the old Chargers. The like old the Dan Fouts ones.
The Dan Fouts ones were beautiful. Yeah.
That's what they were wearing. No. Yellow pants, white tops. They were just the road ones, not the home blues.
With blue helmet. I got a blue helmet. I got to have a yellow lightning bolt on it. Yep. That's the Dan Fouts unit. That's the good looking Charger.
Very picky.
Yep.
I am picky.
I'm with you on this one.
But that's how a Charger uniform should look. San Diego or L.A., I don't care. Pretty good.
But, Pete, you said last night you felt like New Orleans was going to make a comeback.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you guys. Even after the touchdown before the end of the half, I don't have any confidence in Drew Brees anymore.
No.
I don't. I mean, he's good. He's a serviceable NFL quarterback. You're not winning in the postseason with that at quarterback.
Wow.
Well,
how about Drew Brees leading him to a tie? And it, actually, Taysom Hill did. And then Justin Herbert comes out and throws that dime on that right side pass.
Wait a second. Taysom Hill finished up, but Drew Brees got him down there. Okay, Hill had the great scramble.
You should know me by now. I am somewhat tongue-in-cheek when I say Drew Brees was the third-best quarterback on the field last night.
Overrated.
I'll give him the second-best. Justin Herbert is the guy. He didn't do anything to lose that game. Not really.
You keep hearing this around, Saints defense can't stop anybody. Well, nobody's defense could stop anybody, especially last week. I mean, very few exceptions.
Let's give credit to Marshawn Lattimore for that tackle on Mike Williams. It kept him a half yard short of getting a first down and keeping the game going overtime.
No,
that was a major league tackle. You don't see that anymore.
But you're talking again, even without the last field goal in overtime, would have went over the total. I mean, Drew Brees still threw for 325 yards. He was 33 of 40. Granted, the down. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's as bad as everybody thinks. If it was that bad, they wouldn't down by 17. You don't lead him to a victory again.
Yeah.
Or he was very instrumental leading him to a victory. I just think we just have a tendency, we overreact so much on quarterbacks.
This is not an overreaction. Jameis needs to be in the game for the Saints
now
next
you're
week. No, I'm serious. That's not an overreaction at all.
Hold on. Did you guys see after the game when it was handshake time? And yes,
no,
Pete, they did
do
it. So Jameis is all uniformed up, and he's got this multicolor bandana on his head.
I love that look.
Yeah, that's cool. It's fine.
The hats are sweet.
He goes over to Justin Herbert. He's the first quarterback to go to Herbert. And I swear to God, the look on Herbert's face is, who are you, dude?
Yeah.
I swear. I got to be shaking Drew Brees. Listen, he's probably been looking up to Drew Brees his entire life. It's one of his idols. He just went toe-to-toe with the guy. He's not interested in shaking Jameis Winston's hand and getting any of
He's played against
interception stuff on him.
Brees and Brady the last couple of weeks, and Jameis Winston's coming over. Yeah. But that's whatever.
Hey, Jameis, how are you? Yeah. Nice. Where's Drew? Where's Taysom? Want to shake some hands. all right, I have a serious question for you, Pete Shepard.
Yep.
Your beloved Patriots. No new tests, COVID today. No new positive tests.
Same with Tennessee, by the way, this morning. So
this is a serious question. Nobody seems to know the status of Cam Newton. It's been a couple of weeks. I figured he'd be good to go. Do you think he is good to go and the Patriots are just hiding it just to have a minuscule advantage and not letting anybody know any information? Or do you think they really – and this is a serious question.
No, I think because
I would do the same thing if I were my team.
I think he's going to play. I remember they had this facility shut down. I think they were getting back on the practice field. What day is it, Tuesday? I think they were having simple practice I read today or something like that.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play. I mean, we've got another 4 or 5 days. The only thing that's different is the game's at 1 o'clock now and not at 4:15 or 4:25.
Big 3 hours.
Well, it might be for Pete Shepard and his schedule on Sundays. You know how he likes to
pace himself.
Well, wait a minute. You're not even home.
But I will be somewhere in Tampa watching the Patriots and Denver, and then heading. If not, I'll watch it on my laptop, and then we're going to the game.
Is the Buccaneer 4 o'clock game?
4:25. So I'll have plenty of time.
Is this your first Buccaneers game in person?
My first time at Raymond James. Yeah.
May I ask what side of the stadium are you on?
I have no idea.
This is a critical question.
What are you, section 110? I think right.
I need to know, are you east side or west side? Because it's a difference of about 400 degrees.
Yeah.
If the sun's beating down on you, it's going to be pretty rough. If it's not, it'll be a delightful day.
Maybe it'll be overcast.
I doubt it.
I've sat on the side with sun before.
You're really going to cook. But I would recommend sunblock 50 for you.
Well, you've used these tickets, Craig, haven't you? I guess not this year. That might have been different.
I missed a press box. I'm in the
air. No, you went to the Lions game, though.
Well,
no, you went to the Colts game and almost got in a fight.
Yeah, your dad.
Oh, wait a minute. Are these the same tickets I used 3 years ago? Are they in the corner?
No. Yeah, but lower bowl, right?
Lower bowl.
Yes.
25-yard line.
You'll be half and half. You'll start out in the sun.
But 425.
425 is late. The sun goes down.
You should be fine. Yeah. You should be very comfortable.
Good.
Yes, the Colts game I went to where I almost got in a fight. My brother had bought those tickets, and it was kind of a family event.
Mm. Oh. Mm.
Yeah. The Craig man almost had to throw down.
Can't send you anywhere.
That was last. I mean, seriously. We were about ready to be dominoes on the escalator because people weren't moving their fat asses out of the way in time. And things were stacking up with the escalator coming to the bottom.
Now, the Bucks are doing what, 10 or 15,000?
You know, it's a good question. I think it's, I want to say it's at least 10.
I'm going to say 2/3 of that is going to be Packers fans on Sunday.
Slam dunk, yeah. Went the prices up because Packer fans were buying up tickets on the secondary market.
Yeah,
this is gonna be a cheesehead nation out there. I guarantee.
I don't know. I think a lot depending on who wants to go to the game. Remember, they sold a lot of season tickets when they signed Brady
here,
and Gronk. So
half of them are gonna be Packers fans. Half of them are gonna be Patriot Tom Brady fans, and one quarter is gonna be Buccaneer fans. Well, I guarantee you. And guess which one Pete Shepard is. Have you made your sign yet?
I just want to.
I know you're going to be holding up a sign, Tommy.
If I make a sign, it's going to be about you.
Hey, Tom, it's Pete.
It's Pete. I love you. I miss you in New England, but I'm glad we live 2 hours apart now. By the way, Tom Brady's moved out of Derek Jeter's pad on the water. He and Giselle are getting their own place. It's pretty swanky. I just posted it on our website at 993ESPN.com. If you want to be nosy.
Are they on the water?
Yeah.
Of course they are.
No, but you know what the cool feature to this
They're
house
water
is?
People.
They've got their back outdoor area.
Lanai.
It's designed like an indoor area, but it's outdoor and it goes right up to the seawall. You could be sitting there on your couch and your fireplace and your TV and you just look over and there's the water basically coming into your living room.
That's great.
Oh, it's just cool. And then the kitchen, very oval and rounded shapes with some new age lights.
Oh,
very new age.
Love an ovular kitchen.
Ovular blue light. It looks like a kitchen on the Starship Enterprise.
See, I have Fantastic. A very rectangular kitchen.
Because remember that crappy kitchen he had in his videos back in New England when he was on? I said, what's these cheap cabinets behind him? Remember that? When he
well,
did
that
video?
Was that cheap $30 million mansion.
This was a Jeter's place. I think this was pre-Jeter.
No. The mansion up because it wasn't in Massachusetts. It was in another state.
He has another one in New York. He has two, a couple, had a house in New York, too.
One looked pretty low end.
Yeah. So, anyway, running backs, LeSean McCoy and Leonard Fournette, wide receivers, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Justin Watson, and John Hurst, who was on IR, all returned to practice today. And also an interesting tidbit, Greg Allman had this today, dealing with his going from one of the NFL's least penalized to the league's most in Tampa. 100 penalty yards and a loss. He's seen it twice in 5 weeks for the Bucs. After three times in 16 years with the Patriots.
Wow.
So they got to tighten up there.
Jabba the Butt has texted him. He said, no stadium comes closer to being hotter than hell than the old Big Sombrero in Tampa Bay. Stainless steel, aluminum benches, all around concrete, easily 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit at 1 p.m. kickoff. I have never had the pleasure of being at the old Sombrero.
No, me either.
I actually broadcast the first game ever at the new Tampa Stadium, Citadel South Florida, before the Bucs open it. But I've never been to the old Sombrero.
Why'd they call it the Sombrero?
Because it looked like a big old
Sombrero.
That was Chris Berman term.
Yeah.
Oh,
he pretty much coined the phrase, and that's what it stuck.
Boomer.
Back when he had influence, that stuck.
All right. Oh no!
What?
I don't even want to tell Chris about this.
Uh oh.
It's something he'll
is Ryan Fitzpatrick hurt?
No, he'll be orgasmic about it.
Okay.
What happened?
What happened? Alabama?
Worse.
Bucks?
Worse.
Or Dolphins?
No.
Dolphins up.
What happened?
What other sport do you like?
Not soccer.
Soccer?
No, don't ruin it.
Oh, no, I already know. Ronaldo tested positive for coronavirus.
No, it's nothing to do with, this is
not
that.
What happened?
A way to sneak in another soccer story there.
CBS Sports will unveil a brand new whip-around broadcast on Champions League match days entitled The Golazo Show.
The Red Zone channel for soccer. Holy cow.
That's a great idea because CBS has really done a horrific job covering the Champions League and the Europa League this year. Fox had it dialed in where they had it perfect, and then Turner took over, and that was kind of bad. And then CBS got into it, and they've really ruined any shot at watching top-flight European soccer. No, seriously, this is a sports story. I can break this down.
No, you break it down during the break.
It's a good idea.
Week 5 of the NFL season closes out tonight with the undefeated Tennessee Titans hosting the undefeated Buffalo Bills.
Absurd.
Coverage starts at 6:30 with kickoff at 7. Real American football, 99.3 ESPN. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP26 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN. Go ahead, Pete. Give me some more cowbell. Go ahead.
It's my plastic.
It's a plastic cup with your plastic.
Hang on. By the way, I can't get the sound.
How'd you get that plastic straw? I didn't think we did those anymore down here.
I demanded it.
You went into your favorite coffee house and demand. But is that a paper straw or is that legit?
No, it's legit. It's a regular plastic straw.
Very good. Yeah. Good for you.
Well, I think a local place tried to get rid of straws, and there was such outrage about it.
Yeah. Well. At the top, Chris mentioned Bobby Bowden doing better, testing negative from COVID at age 90. That's good after he was positive last week. The Florida Gators, however, are another situation. Coming off of their loss at Texas A&M, 5 players have tested positive today. Keep an eye on the Gator situation and how they handle that moving forward. So. Now, did they change the game time of the Gators this weekend? When do you tell me?
Yeah, they moved it back 30 minutes. It was originally scheduled for 3:30 on ESPN.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason today, they announced it moved back 30 minutes.
Is that a TV decision?
I don't think so. I mean, ESPN runs games at 3:30 on Saturday anyway. Most of the time it's not SEC because that's the CBS slot, but the CBS opted to move Bama, Georgia to 8 o'clock on Saturday
night. Only thing I can think of, and I read this on several sites today, they are having a hard time selling tickets despite what Dan Mullen wants. There are plenty of tickets left in Gainesville for that game. 17,000 they were going to allow in, and from my understanding, there's a bunch of tickets left.
Give them all the students.
Does a half hour change that at all?
I'm just trying to come up with a reason why they did it.
Are people still afraid to gather in large crowds?
Probably.
Not from what I saw on TV last night, approximately 8 o'clock with a certain president of the United States in the state of Florida.
But he had COVID.
He's good.
For a few months.
All right. Other news. Again, I love harping on Clayton Kershaw and how he is the biggest disappointment in sports. He can't help it, but he's a scratch for game 2.
Yeah.
Tonight. This after their bullpen gave up 4 runs and 2 home runs in the 9th of a 1-1 ball game last night.
Biggest disappointment in sports?
In baseball? Yeah. Yes. He always fails to deliver in the postseason.
It was 1-1, and the Dodgers had the bases loaded in the bottom of the 8th with, I think, 1 out and didn't score.
Yeah.
So, you know, kudos to the Braves, but, you know, and how about the Rays last night? Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Still Margo in awe was of that catch by Margo.
He hit the three-run home run early in the game. So he was a big star, and they held on 4-2. There's some remarkable numbers yesterday by the Braves. And Morton has been just lights out in the postseason.
Their whole pitching staff has been lights out. They've allowed 4 runs through 6 games, I think.
Yep.
It's insane.
I don't know if you stayed up late to watch the Braves and Dodgers, but that was the first baseball game that allowed fans.
Yep.
Yeah.
Again, it's a neutral site. It's not like it's in Arlington, but they had 10,500 people there last night, and that's how many they're going to sell for the rest of the series and for the World Series. Mm-hmm. By the way, you could have gone to last night's game for anywhere between $40 and $250. World Series tickets are sold out. They went between $75 and $450.
Why would you pay $450? Now, see, I don't know how tight security is going to be if you can buy a crappy seat and then walk
down.
But I don't know if they're looking for. I don't know what they're. They should. If you're there, they should just let you sit where you want within social distancing reasons. How about Austin Riley, who bats ninth for the Braves? I mean, I don't know if you saw the home run he hit last night in the ninth inning. 448 feet. What a bomb for a number nine hitter. Yeah. A guy that was left off the playoff roster last year.
Yeah.
For the Braves.
The Braves and Dodgers will have the early game today, 6:05 Eastern. Yeah. That means 3 o'clock out in L.A. Rays and Astros get prime time. Well, 8:40.
No, remember, no days off, so they're going to play seven straight through.
You know, you talk about the spreading of fans and all that kind of stuff. You know, I like how the SEC has been doing it. Very tidy. You got your group of four on one end of the bleacher rows near the aisle and the other group of four on the other end and the space in between. What's wrong with you? What?
Yes, the model looks good.
It does look good.
Texas A&M was not following any model on Saturday against the Gators.
That was just a model.
Well, I was surprised after what SMU, when they ejected an entire student section in back of the end zone 2 weeks ago.
Ole Miss was not following any sort of structure Saturday night against Alabama. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
You've gone. You've paid your ticket. You take on the risk.
Well, at Georgia, it was pretty tidy.
But they're supposed to enforce the
Clemson.
They're supposed to enforce
it. Clemson?
They did at SMU. Like I said, 2 weeks ago, they ejected the entire student body in the first half. For not conforming.
It's very organized. It reminded me as of a child when the Indy 500 is supposed to start in 11 rows of three, side by side. But by the time they take the checkered flag, they're all over the damn place. But no, I saw some very organized stadiums over the weekend.
Well, it looks to me like some sort of research has been found where you can't catch coronavirus laterally or horizontally. You can catch it laterally.
Can't catch it from the person in front of you.
Can't catch it from the person in front of you or behind you.
So if they sneeze and there's a stiff breeze coming out of the north end of the end zone and the sneeze goes backward, you can't catch it.
You can't. Apparently.
I didn't know
that's the way it looks to me. Straight lines of people.
Wow. And some have masks and some don't still to this day.
Yeah.
Really getting back to your Clayton Kershaw, Dave Roberts, this is old school. I'm wondering if Chris knows this reference.
Okay.
So Dodgers manager Dave Roberts just said the likelihood is very good that Clayton Kershaw will pitch in the series, but there's no telling when. He tweaked it during a bullpen session Saturday. The team tried to kick the can down the road as long as they could. Today it wasn't ready. Do you remember? Do you ever play kick the can?
I've heard the saying, kick the can down the... I've heard the saying. I don't know the origin.
We played it every day.
It's a game called kick the can. Usually we played it at night after supper.
Y'all loved it.
And you get together a group. You would have liked this game.
I dominated.
You stick a soda can.
So it's not that hard.
A soda can, and everybody hides, and somebody has to... Kick comes out and kick the can, but if somebody sees you, right, then you're out. Is that the deal?
Do you have to tag them? See, okay.
I forget.
So here's what we did. We put the can in the middle of our cul-de-sac.
You need about eight... kids to play kind of fun.
And then whoever is the main guy, you're on the can with your foot on the can, you cover your eyes, you count to 10, everybody runs.
Yeah,
like hides in the bushes, the house across the street, whatever.
Yeah.
Then if you spot somebody, you got to go out, you got to tag them, but now you're leaving the can in jeopardy. And for each person you tag, they got to go stand by the can. But if somebody notices that you're too far away as the guy on the can, they can run. If they run in and kick the can, everybody's free.
And then you're out. You get knocked out of the game.
Yeah.
It's a fun.
I absolutely dominated this. I mean, if there was like a Heisman trophy for kick the can, I probably would have got it back in the 70s and 80s in Indiana.
It was like every night we'd all play baseball during the day or basketball, usually baseball, have supper at night, dinner, and just come back out like from 7 to 9, flies, no flies, in the summer, obviously.
Well, what we did, if we weren't playing kick the can in the middle of the cul-de-sac, we turned a cul-de-sac into a kickball field. We played kickball, boys and girls and all that.
Yeah.
Again,
we did that
was like the Babe Ruth of my I dominated the dojo, and I would just launch home run after home run over everybody.
You seem like the guy that would kick with your toe.
Depending on how, I'm not tapping one with the side of my foot down the third baseline, Chris. I'm getting into it and sending that sucker into the front yard across the street for the home run.
You know, sometimes, Craig, it's about moving the runner over.
Not
you know, it's
ball.
Not. It's not always about going for the home run and launch angle and exit velo and all that nonsense.
I did see a kid miss one time in our neighborhood. He missed the ball and dislocated his knee. That wasn't fun.
That's awful.
I never played kick the can.
My friend Kenny back. How about usually the houses were pretty well. One we had a couple of fields we play kickball on. One was sort of near a house, but my friend Kenny was left footed, and 2 weekends in a row, smack and just all the red balls that everybody used to use.
Oh yeah,
right through. I won't say her last name, right through Kim's parents' window on the first floor. Same window 2 weeks in a row.
Nice. Oh, would I be livid if I was that?
Oh, my God.
After you just get it fixed and it happens again.
God, it was.
That's what you got insurance for.
I did the second time.
Yeah, but that's a pain in the ass.
We're 10 years old. I just started laughing.
You're a hardworking man. You come home from work, find out that neighborhood kids have put a ball through your living room window, and then you finally make arrangements to replace it, and then they do it again.
And her dad was not the nicest person. Mom was great, but her dad was not the nicest person in the world. He was really one of those, like, you know, get out of my house, get off my lawn type of thing.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be that guy.
95% of the sports took place at my house. So,
Rick Ashley fan says, got to start calling Craig. Call us at Craig. That's kind of catchy. And yes, Swamp Daddy, chicks do dig the long ball, whether it be kickball, softball, baseball, all the above.
See, I've always had an appreciation for a solidly laid down bunt down the third baseline.
In kickball?
You don't bunt in kickball.
No, not kickball, in baseball. Oh. Like, Juan Pierre was the best in my lifetime. He would get out to the field before game time. Instead of going through BP, he'd get a bucket of balls and he'd roll them down the third baseline to really see where that clay starts to turn, or where the foundation of the field starts to turn.
Really?
Best guy at laying down bunts I've ever seen.
One of my favorite plays is the drag bunt, especially from a lefty.
Oh, it's beautiful.
When you beat it out, when you just surprise everybody, and you just, you know, the pitcher, catcher, and first baseman collide, and there's nobody else left.
Thing of beauty.
I never really had the speed to pull off. Of course, I was a righty, too, so drag bunt wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
Then you put a lot of pressure on that catcher.
Yeah.
Throwing, you know, right-handed, throwing down the first base line. Yeah. Maybe you get hit in the helmet. That's a good thing.
Got to stay in the box, though. That's what it's there for.
Yeah, straight line.
Yeah.
Straight line, baby.
Straight line. That's all we're worried about.
I wish I could go back in time. Like me, my current size and strength. And just just dominate.
You'd be like Craig Kramer in the dojo with all the little kids with karate.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, that'd be pretty embarrassing, though.
For who?
You.
Why?
JV as a senior at your size?
I'm not JV. Varsity all the way, man. What are you talking? Where are you even going with that nonsense? Get that out of here. I reject that shot. Get that
challenge.
Bleep out of here.
All right. Our buddy Rick Stroud tweeting out, covers the Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times, based on tenure and pre-sale, begins at 9 a.m. October 14th. Limited tickets remaining after the pre-sale. The Bucs are giving season pass members a second chance to purchase additional seats to two games starting October 14th while they last. So,
all right. All right. We got Sound Street coming up next in the 3 o'clock hour. We have Masterpiece Theater, Red Alert Tuesday, which is one of my favorite segments of the week. Also a reminder, Saturday, the Florida Gators back in action against the LSU Tigers. Now, Chris, are these times incorrect now on this scribble I have here? We move the game. It says kickoff or coverage starts at 3, kickoff at 4. That's incorrect now. Correct?
No, that is correct.
That is correct.
Yeah, it was 2:30 and 3:30. Now it's 3 and 4.
All right.
Which is going to make our coverage of Bama, Georgia a little late, but we'll try to get to it by kickoff.
They won't start on time.
Okay.
No, yeah, that's probably an 8:10, one of those.
8:15.
Regardless, the Florida Gators presented by the Wilbur Smith Law Firm. We got Sound Street next. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Let's go to Monday Night Football. You want to see some real tackling like the olden days? Here's Marshawn Lattimore stopping Mike Williams on fourth down about a half yard short to give the Saints a 30-27 win in overtime over the Chargers.
Fourth and 7 for the Chargers from their own 44. Herbert in the gun. 3-by-1 to the left, tailback to his right. Takes a gun snap. Saints bring pressure. Quick throw near side. Caught and take it down short of midfield. He's not going to get to the first down marker, and the Saints defense ends this game. Marshawn Lattimore with a big tackle on the catch by Mike Williams, and the Saints defense holds on.
WWL.
That was like Dyson. And the play before that, he could have the first down, too. It was just a little behind.
Yep. Here's Sean Payton afterward, glad to take the win before the bye week.
Every week, you know, you look at it, it was a win. You know, there are a number of things that we've got to clean up, and we'll get back to work here next week. You know, we'll be in tomorrow, we'll be in the next day. we'll be able to address some of the things we feel like we haven't done well and get ready then to start playing after the bye.
Here's Drew Brees. Good to be battle-tested at this point.
You know, at the end of the day, man, we're still growing. And to have wins like this, you know, where you really have to fight to win, you know, just like we did last week to overcome that 14-point deficit, tonight to overcome the 17-point deficit. You know, this is how you grow as a team. This is how you become battle-tested. And I think it pays dividends as you move along here.
Meanwhile, rookie Justin Herbert, Pete, I don't know if he's aware of that fun stat you gave earlier today that the Chargers are 3-13 in one-score games going over the past couple of years. He says it's so many tough losses already.
Definitely a tough loss. To be so close in these past four games, it hurts a lot. But I know that we're going to go back and we're gonna turn it around. Things are going to change. And we just got to keep attacking and know that the wins are going to come.
I mean, four passing touchdowns, no picks, despite facing pressure. 47% of the time is dropbacks. Very, very impressive.
Like him a lot. All right, y'all know the Dak Prescott situation, and y'all know his contract situation. So what do the Cowboys do with this massive injury? Stephen Jones, making an appearance on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, says Dak will still be their franchise quarterback.
In the Cowboys' stance, and you've made it pretty clear already this morning, the stance has been that the plan was for Dak to be the Cowboys' quarterback for the long haul, and that was Dak's message, too, after yesterday. Did that change, and do you see that
absolutely
changing
not
in the future?
Absolutely not. He's our future. Special. Anyone can overcome anything and be Dak. This is something that our doctors feel good that he'll overcome and come back better than ever.
I'm going to shoulder that one. That's my bad.
Well, okay.
I didn't think the quality would be that horrendous.
I'll tell you what, having lived in Texas, the Dallas area is as flat as a pancake. I don't know why there isn't great cell service everywhere. There's just no excuse for it.
Take it off Bluetooth, Stephen.
No, but remember I told you that 60 Minutes story came out a few months ago, and Austin, Texas, a very upper middle class area, was like second or third worst in the country.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Here's Arthur Blank. Had to explain himself. He fired his coach and GM after an 0-5 start.
It's called lack of winning. So the problems we have to solve are all the problems that are ahead of us that keep us from winning. And I'd add, you know, if I can, Justin, this is not just a response to a 0-5. It's a response to almost 3.5 years post Super Bowl. We've been playing less than 500 ball. And so when you look at that many games over a long period of time and you adjust for injuries, which every NFL team has, we just haven't performed the level that we're capable of.
Arthur Blank not having it anymore. Here's Manuel Margot, the Rays over-the-wall catch with runners in scoring position. This was incredible. We saw it live while we were doing the show yesterday on 620 WDAE.
Now the 1-1 pitch. Here's a swing, and he popped him up. Down the right field line, will it stay in play? Drifting over, Margot into foul territory near the sidewall, makes the catch, flips over the wall. Did he hold on? Yes, he did! What a catch in right field by Manuel Margot. Oh, my!
It was spectacular. Rays won that game thanks to Jose Altuve's two errors at second base as well. They now have a 2-0 series lead, two wins away from the World Series, people. Kevin Cash on the Rays winning all these close games.
We got a talented group of players, and sometimes that talent doesn't always show up at the same time. But right now, you know, certainly on the pitching and the defense, it's there. I mean, they are playing with very minimal margin of error, and they're getting it done, making the plays behind the pitchers, and the pitchers are making big pitches. We got some guys with the bat that are seeing the ball well and coming up with big hits, but we got some other guys that certainly can get hot here. And if we do, we just become that much more dangerous of a club.
Over to the National League, Braves and Dodgers. They were tied at 1 going into the 9th. Then all hell broke loose. Here it was on Fox.
That is hit deep into left center field. Back at the wall. It's gone. Austin Riley has put the Atlanta Braves on top here in the 9th with a home run on Blake Treinen. An absolute laser.
Two home runs and four runs.
Ninth batter, by the way, batting ninth, and left off the playoff roster last year. Amazing story.
Here's Freddie Freeman, says the Braves slugging bunches.
I mean, you guys have been seeing us the last couple of years, especially this year in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning. We seem to have some magic, and it was no different tonight. You know, it's a tough lineup to navigate. We left some opportunities out there throughout the game, too. So it could have been a different story, but with the 1-1 game going in the ninth, if we cashed in. But that's what's so good about this team is even if we don't get those opportunities, we're going to create some more and later in the game, and we were able to come through in the ninth.
Enrique Hernandez with the Dodgers after losing game one. You know how they are in L.A. They're laid back. They're cool. He says, ain't nothing but a thing. Just one game.
I mean, it's going to happen. It's baseball. Anything can happen on any given night, and they have a really good team. You can't take credit away from them, and I think their energy was a little bit better than ours tonight. They came right off the gates. Freddie hit that ball really hard first inning, and after that, kind of like, you know, put us on our heels a little bit. But you know, it's baseball. It's going to happen. We're going to lose games. But you know what? Game one doesn't mean anything if they don't win four games this series. So whoever wins four first is the one that wins the series. So we'll throw this one away and come back tomorrow with a fresh mind and you know, do what we do.
Game two, 6:05 tonight. No Clayton Kershaw scratch due to a bad back spasm.
Session, yeah, on Saturday.
Yeah. All right, coming up, it's the 3 o'clock hour. That means Red Alert Tuesday, where we put people, teams, and situations on blast. Pete Shepard will have another edition of Master Pete Theater. We got a college football quiz and more of Pete's hot nuggets for the college football weekend. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.